Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. Eat me.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. This is Leah Eaton. I'm your host today. And we are back in the studio this afternoon with Cassandra Flexig, a consultant with CARP Resources. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, always. So last we spoke, CARP Resources had conducted some really interesting exploratory research to look at some ways to improve access to healthier food as part of this post-Sandy business recovery effort. And over the last couple months, you've spent quite a bit of time down at the Rockaways. We wanted to bring you back into the studio to kind of give us a little update on what you were seeing, what you were hearing. You've kind of got your pulse on what's going on down there. So first, kind of start off by telling us who were you speaking with and what were the goal of the interviews that you were conducting?
Sure. Last time I was here, we were speaking a little bit about the conversations that we had had with the restaurant and small business owners in the community and a few of the community members that we had spoken with. Over the last couple months, we focused on gathering a lot more information from the community. So my boss, Karen Karp, and I went to a board member meeting at NYCHA, which is the New York City Housing Authority in the Rockaways, to speak with board members from five or six of the developments there, just to give them some background on what this project is, to see what they thought about it and what sort of food-related changes they want to see in the community. They recommended the best way for us to reach a broader number of community members and NYCHA residents would be going to family days in the Rockaways. And family day is an event that every development has once a year. They save up money for it, and it's one day of celebration where they have food, they have music, they have games, they have raffles. One of them had horses that I went to last Saturday. There were ponies down there. I missed the rides, unfortunately. Oh. But it's something that the whole development looks forward to. So we were recommended to go there to speak with people, which we did. So I went to four or five different family days at the different developments, and I also went to one of the health fairs to have just general conversations with people and to administer a specific survey that we created to survey residents on their thoughts about current options available and what they'd like to see.
Okay. So what were some of the comments, the desires, the wants, the challenges, the things that you guys kept hearing over and over again at, you know, at the different communities? What was the need?
The number one change that people wanted to see in the community, and that's the question that I asked, if you could change one thing in your community related to food, what would it be? Was supermarkets. Some people just said generally supermarkets. Some elaborated and said specifically because I want more fruits and vegetables, more high quality fruits and vegetables. Some people said because I want better quality meat. Some people said I just want more variety in general. But it all came down to supermarkets. They want more variety of food and they want healthier options. They want fresher options. A lot of people talked about really low quality, smelly meat or semi-rotten vegetables. People talked about restaurants. They said there are very few restaurants, and the restaurants that are there are only fast food, and they're mostly Chinese food. You know, they want to see, and one of the questions that we had in the surveys was, what kind of restaurants would you like to see in the neighborhood? What kind of food would you like to purchase? And people were specifically asking for soul food, Caribbean food, Latin food, and vegetarian food.
Interesting. And so when people were talking about, you know, healthier options, did they give you examples of what that might look like or kind of specifically what they hope to see that they weren't seeing right now?
Sure. I think there's a lot of different ways to define healthy, but I think the most basic way that people were communicating that to me was vegetables. Some people said specifically raw vegetables and would tell me the prices. You know, they're charging me $3 a head for lettuce, or they're charging me $2.97 a pound for bell peppers. And I can go get hamburgers for a lot cheaper. So that's what I'm going to do. So they want the raw vegetables for them to cook. But they also want prepared foods as well. Many people told me, you know, just because I'm low income doesn't mean I have more time to cook. You know, I want to go buy something that's ready to eat, and I want there to be vegetables. I don't want just fried chicken. I don't want just pizza. I don't want just stewed meats and white rice. That they want collard greens. They want sautéed cabbage. They want green beans. And they want, one of the questions on our survey was, what sort of prepared foods would you be interested in purchasing? And I think the most popular answers that I saw were like Latin-style foods, like black beans, brown rice, quasi-American, I don't know really how to define American food, but we defined it as...
That's always a question, right?
Right. Like maybe a healthier lasagna or salads.
Okay. Well, kind of going back to that number one desire of the supermarket, of the grocery store, we have a quick clip that I wanted to play with one of the women that you spoke to talking about that that desire for, you know, a supermarket, which implies that there isn't one right now, which is kind of an interesting question of why that we'll get into in a little bit. But let's go ahead and hear from her directly.
I don't want to buy my food off this corner store over here. They don't have anything that I need.
Okay.
Only thing they have in here is bread. I need a supermarket.
Okay. How far do you have to go to a supermarket?
For me to go to a supermarket, I have to go to 73rd Street.
And right now we're on 54th.
And we're on 54th.
Okay.
Right. I live on 51st. Uh-huh. Suppose I didn't have a car, I would have to walk or either get on the bus and then taxi my food back, mm-hmm. which this community here is a big enough community
mm-hmm.
that we should have a supermarket, a decent supermarket in this community.
But you know where they put the supermarket?
Yeah, where all the white folks at. They don't care about the blacks.
But you know why? We didn't come out to try to vote on it. You couldn't get enough of people to do that. You couldn't get enough of people from here. And we are right here.
Well, they
about 24 people. That's all we got.
So I think that's really interesting and really powerful to hear her talk about, you know, A, of course, the distance that she has to go to a grocery store and why it's not, but then hearing her talk about why she thinks there isn't a grocery store. Can you tell us a little bit about what you were hearing in terms of the concern about, you know, whether there was a racial implication that, as she said, they would potentially build a grocery store where the white folks are and not where she is?
Sure. That's actually something that came up a lot in the conversations that I had out there. And I was really happy that the community was comfortable speaking with me about that. You know, as a white person, as pretty much the only white person at every single one of the family days, I heard repeatedly from people that they feel that their community is not considered, specifically because, one, it's mostly black and Latino. Two, they're low income in general, and three, because they live in housing projects specifically.
Right. And so, you know, when people are expressing that kind of concern, and, you know, you're clearly trying to, as you say, build back better and make changes and try to think about, like, what do you do next to that? Like, how do you answer that? Are they looking to you for an answer or...
I think they were just happy to have somebody listening to them because there haven't been too many venues for them to voice their concerns. And, you know, we were down there because we want to know what does the community want in general, but what's the best way that we can help implement solutions that are going to really address the needs of the community and be embraced by the community. And along the same lines with the racial issues, a lot of people were complaining that all the businesses in the neighborhood are mostly owned by people outside of the neighborhood. People who are not the same color, they're not same background in many different ways as the people in the neighborhood. So they come, they set up shop, they benefit from the community. They're probably not making millions, but they are benefiting from the community by having their business there, but they don't live there, so they're not investing in the community. And they don't care as much about the community. And so one way to address that is that we are going to try to include the community in this as much as possible. So if we're working with a store that already owns a business and they have experience running a business, it makes more sense to work with them versus building an entirely new store in the neighborhood. But we're hoping to include more of the community and perhaps bring somebody in to serve as a consultant or to maybe do nutrition education in the store.
Right. And I know, you know, we had sort of talked about that being a little bit of like a shift in how you were originally seeing the project. So I'm curious if you could talk briefly about, you know, when you were getting some of that feedback that they were interested in people from their own community being involved and maybe not necessarily people from outside of the community, How do you create that compromise and kind of balance where the project was headed with what you're then hearing from the community members?
I think some of those conversations haven't taken place yet, but I will say that the community, as soon as I offered this as a potential option going forward, they really embraced that and they really got excited and they told me that they believe it's going to be more successful. So as we continue our conversations with potential funders, that's definitely going to be a main aspect of the plan.
Right. Well, so one of the other really interesting things that seems to have come out of your conversations is the challenge of logistics and specifically around transportation. We have another story from another woman you spoke to who talks about the challenges that she has in terms of like getting access to her groceries and then coming back home, as well as the impact that has on the amount of money and the way that she shops. So I want to go ahead and play that second clip and hear her tell us that story with her own words.
I would like to see stores in the neighborhood, affordable, good food, good quality food, mm-hmm. where people can do their shop, can, you know, walk to the supermarket and buy your food and come home. You know, you shouldn't have to travel 15 miles or 10 miles or 5 miles to get to a supermarket. Okay, if you're trying to save, you got to spend $5 to get to the supermarket. So you haven't saved anything trying to get there to save anything. So that's why I shop as I go. I can't afford to take a shopping cart on a bus or the train. So when I go out and shop, I buy what I need or what I think I might need. I don't wait until I run out to buy. So I'm always walking with something, you know, and it's hard. You see the water fills, you know, and you want to buy the three containers of water and bring them home, but you can't bring them because you can't get them home unless you take a cab. So if you're paying to take a cab, you haven't saved anything on the water.
So I think that's just so interesting to think about, not just the day-to-day challenge of getting to and from, but how that impacts the way she shops. Was that a common theme that you heard?
That was a common theme. A lot of people said that they were unable to get deals on the bulk goods because they simply couldn't transport them. A lot of people also talked about the challenge with public transportation, the cost associated with it. You're looking at about $5 round trip. But a number of people told me that they've had difficulty getting on the bus with a shopping cart, that the bus driver may not allow it. They're not the only one. There may be 5 or 6 other people with a shopping cart. So they may have to sit there and wait for a few buses until they're able to get on. One woman also told me she's not always allowed on with her walker because she's not wheelchair bound, that some drivers view the walker as optional. So she has difficulty getting on the bus. They can't get on with laundry cars. Just, I learned a lot about everyday, just day-to-day challenges from people. And when it's taking so much time and effort and energy and money to run your everyday errands, like laundry and shopping, there's no laundromats in the area either. Just having to travel the distance for that, it leaves very little time to prepare healthy foods.
Right. Well, we've been talking with Cassandra from CARP Resources, and we're going to take a real quick break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about the food landscape post-Sandy in the Rockaways with a resident himself.
You're listening to Tom Cruise on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Restaurant Records. The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back to the Heritage Radio Network. This is your host, Leah Eden. We are back in the studio with Cassandra Flexig from CARP Resources. We are also joined by phone today with Ed Shaw, one of the Rockaway residents that Cassandra spoke with during her time in the community. Ed, thank you so much for being on the network today.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. We really appreciate you. I hear you heading off to your daughter's play, so I appreciate you squeezing us in there.
Yes. We're outside. I'm waiting. You know, I'm going to talk to you guys first, then we're going to go inside, you know, and continue on my daughter's play.
Oh, fantastic. Well, so, Ed, how long have you lived in the Rockaways, and where were you living?
I've been living in Rockaways since 1958. I was born and raised there. I'm now living in 81 Westfield in Long Island.
Okay, and how long have you been living in Long Island, and why aren't you in the Rockaways?
Well, actually, I live. I'm staying in both places. I'm staying with my sister from time to time, and I've been in Long Island because of Hurricane Sandy, and I'm also at the hotel, at the Garden and Suites Hotel in Jamaica, New York.
Okay, and are you with other, you know, are you living now near other people from your community, or have your former neighbors been spread out in different places?
Well, people have been dispersed pretty much, you know, between Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx, you know, and Queens.
Okay, well, I know that you and Cassandra had some really interesting conversations when she was down in the Rockaways, and I know that she wanted to chat with you a little bit today about some of the food businesses that were in the Rockaways in your community.
Well, I wish there was some real food businesses in Rockaway, but no, obviously there's not. Like I said to Cassandra at the time, that Rockaway really doesn't count to those, you know, the status quo, simply because there's poor people, there's black people, you know, indigenous people, you know, people of color. And because of that, you know, the community is suffering terribly. We don't have healthy foods, we don't have businesses that's part of us. You know, with the businesses of, you know, everybody comes to the community, they take from the community, and they take it back to where they come from. They don't put anything back into the community. You know, in the community, you have Indians, you have Dominicans, you have Mexicans, you have Arabs, you have Bangladeshis. You know, you have all these different people coming into the community, and they have businesses, you know, but they take from the community, but they don't give anything back to the community. And, you know, that's a sad statement.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, so when you say that, you know, the businesses aren't part of us and they're kind of taking and going away, tell us a little bit about what does that actually look like? What does that mean in the community? They're not neighbors, they're not from the community, or?
No, these people are not from the community. They're not from the community at all. But they have all the businesses in the community because, you know, it's easy to prey on the poor. Because, you know, the poor don't have a choice. The poor have to buy whatever is brought to them. Whatever is given to them, they have to take. You know, so we're dealing with a food stamp community. You know, and because of that, you know, these businesses, they come to the community and they take every dollar, every cent, and not only that, but they talk to you any kind of way. Mm-hmm. You know, they come into the community with these businesses, and then they want to talk to you like, you know, you're second class citizen, which is terrible. You know?
Right.
I mean, you got pantries all throughout the community, but they give you food that you can't even eat. You know what I mean? They give me food I wouldn't give to my dog. You follow what I'm saying? You know, like I said to Cassandra, you know, if we had a Trader Joe's, you know, if we have some other type of healthy, you know, environment where, you know, the food, you know, you can eat and you can enjoy it and it could be nutritious and things like that, it would be healthy, it would be beautiful. But we don't have that. We don't have that in our community. You know, because they throw anything in our community. It doesn't matter.
Hey, Ed, so when you and I were speaking in the Rockaways, one thing that you mentioned to me was that you felt that because these business owners are not from the community and they don't live in the community, that they're kind of afraid of people and they don't really understand people. And because they didn't grow up with these people as neighbors and they don't know them, they don't respect them as much. And that that's where you see more bulletproof glass and you see a lack of trust. And that manifests itself in the way the business owners react with the people in the community and the types of products and services they offer.
Well, you know, it's not so much a lack of trust. You know, I don't care if you don't trust me, but you need to respect me. You follow what I'm saying? You know, if I put my dollars into your business, then you need to at least have some type of respect for me. I give you my dollars, and then you still talk to me any kind of way. You still follow me all around the store like I'm going to take something. You know, you got a 5x9 store, and you follow me around. Does that make sense?
It certainly does not.
No.
Well, so who?
But that's what we deal with, you know, in our community,
right.
In the Rockaways.
Well,
you know, nobody really, you know, the Rockaways is a place, you know, when you mention it to people outside of Rockaway, oh God, that's too far. Oh, you know, it's not even one of the five boroughs. It's really called the sixth borough. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's terrible because, you know, people don't want to. Nothing to do with Rockaway except for coming in and take out and run back to where they come from. That's it. They don't hang out here. They don't send their kids to school here. You got one Chinese person. You got one Chinese person there that owns a Chinese restaurant that sends their kids to the same school that my kids go to.
Right. Well, so Ed, let's think about the future a little bit. What would you like to see in your neighborhood? What in terms of the people that are owning the shops? What kinds of shops? What kinds of food do you want to see on the shelf?
Well, first of all, I would like to see the community, the businesses, the stores, and things like that represent and reflect the community. You know, you have Puerto Ricans that own the Key Food. You have Puerto Ricans that own the Met Food Supermarket and all that over here. You know, that's the only thing they hide. There's not one black person or a person of another color works in those environments. And that's terrible. You have big supermarkets and every single employee in there is Hispanic. I mean, is something not just a little bit wrong with that?
Well, do you see? Do any of your neighbors or people from the Rockaway communities, are they working in those grocery stores or those restaurants?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know, the supermarkets. You got Bravo Supermarket. You got Compared, big giant supermarkets. You have the Key Food Supermarket. Everybody who works in those supermarkets, and those are the only few supermarkets that are there, you know, other than, you know, the Stop and Shop. You know, you have a big Stop and Shop. You have some people of color work there. Mm-hmm. But all the supermarkets that's directly in the community, that directly sits where all the poor people sit, they're all of their own persuasion.
Right.
There's not one person of color other than, you know, the Hispanics who run the place, who manage the place, you know, work there.
So, Ed, can you talk to me a little bit about the types of food that people are purchasing in these supermarkets or in the bodegas? Like, I know you were telling me that it's really difficult to access healthy food and affordable food. So what do you see your friends and family and neighbors purchasing in the Rockaways currently, and what would you like to see changed?
Well, what you see a lot of pork. You see a lot of canned foods. It's not that you don't have really access to a lot of really, 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 you know, fresh vegetable fruits and vegetables and things like that. You have it, but when you see it in the supermarkets, it's either damaged or there's you know, then a few days later you hear somebody got sick from the tomatoes, somebody got sick from this, somebody got sick from that, you know. And that's the problem we have here. We don't have clean, wholesome food here. We don't have, you know, things like, you know, like Cassandra and I talked about, you know, like in Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's have good, sound food, period. You know, and I would love to see a Trader Joe's or something, you know, to that, you know, magnitude in our community. You know, that would help a lot. That would help a lot. I mean, even Trader Joe's, which is out in Nassau County, Trader Joe's, they hire, you see people of color. You see people of color. You see black people work in Trader Joe's.
Ed, are you a spokesperson for Trader Joe's? Did they pay
that? I'm not.
I know.
Not, not only that, I've only been in Trader Joe's twice before. But I loved it going there because I couldn't believe the food that they had there compared to the food that we have in our community. You know what I mean? No, I'm not a spokesman for Trader Joe's. I'm not a spokesman for anybody except for what is right. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, we're talking about here is right and wrong, you know. And it's wrong that we don't have access to those foods. And the people in our communities, you know, they're sick. It's a lot. High blood pressure, you know, hypertension and diabetes is very high in the community, you know. And it's because of the type of foods. All you have is a lot of everything high in salt, high in fat.
If you owned your own grocery store, what would it look like?
It would be more towards the not vegetarian, but it would be like fish, chicken. It would be things, and you know, a lot of chickens, the skin would be off the chicken. You know what I mean? Chicken is good. Fish is good. You know, these things are good. But when all you have access to is a bunch of ham hocks and a bunch of pork chops, I mean, I'm not saying all that stuff is bad all the time because I believe that anything is good in moderation. You know what I mean? But when you have that's all you have to choose from. I mean, you know what's gonna happen? I'm gonna have a lot of fruits and vegetables, fresh stuff. You know, that people can have access to a lot more of it than we have now. You know what I mean? You know, people need, you know, everything is in the can. Everything you see is in the can. Everything is in the can. Something needs to be outside of the can, you know, where there's not gluten. You know, there's no gluten. You know, I mean, it's just so much sodium intake until, you know, I walk around, I see everybody on crutches around where I live at, people on canes, people on pushers, you know, people with the little carts, you know, that they drive and stuff like that there, you know, because people got nothing but bad legs because of diabetes, hypertension, you know, and it's terrible. It's really terrible in the black community.
Right. Well, you know, Ed, I think that you touch on some really important issues, not just around the lack of access to fruits and vegetables and healthier foods, but also the connections that you're seeing in your community between the diet and the food that you have available and some of the diseases and illnesses that you're seeing in your community. And I just want to thank you so much for taking some time and coming on the network today to share your story and tell us a little bit about what you're seeing and what's making you angry and what you want to see differently, because we also hope that we see some of those things differently in the future. So thank you so very much, Ed. We really appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you guys too. You know, I thank you guys very much. I thank you guys for taking an interest, you know, within this community. You know, not everybody do that, but you know what? One thing I must say, and I'm just speaking the truth, is that, you know, it's not about white, black, and all that, because during the civil rights, you know, movement, you know, we had lots of white people who was there, who was this very good people who died, you know, for the cause and things like that. I mean, it's good and bad everywhere. I'm just saying that, you know, those that are bad, we just need to deal with. You know, that's the only thing I'm saying. I mean, that could be black, white, Spanish, or anything else.
I think what you're saying is that honesty is the important part. And you have to
honesty is everything. Honesty is always the best policy in anything that you deal with. You know, whether it be a relationship, a man and a wife, or whether it be in a business or whatever. You know, honesty is always the best thing. And you shouldn't And we shouldn't think about, you know, preying on people or weaker people or people who don't have a voice and things like that. And that's what's happening in the community. And that's what I really don't like it, you know, but there's so much I can do. I'm very thankful to Cassandra, you know, for coming to the community and doing the work that, you know, that she's doing. Right. I really appreciate you all you guys, you know, for everything.
Well, we are as well. And yeah, this is an important topic to talk about, and we will absolutely continue to have these conversations. So thank you so very much.
Thanks, Ed.
And thanks to you guys. You know, take care. And Cassandra, hopefully, you know, we'll be talking soon.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, Cassandra, I mean, you certainly have spent a lot of time down there, and it sounds like, you know, this is definitely a large and a complex issue that you are thinking about. Ed, his community members, and then of course the CARP resources team. Not to insinuate that you guys have the answer in your back pocket, but tell us a little bit about, you know, after you spent all this time down there, what are some of the next steps that you guys have in mind? What are some of the conversations that you're continuing to have?
Sure. Well, we're speaking with the Queens Chamber of Commerce. We're speaking with potential funders. We're speaking with the NYCHA Housing. And there is a site that has the potential to be redeveloped, and it's a very large site. It's a site where there actually used to be several restaurants, laundromat, many businesses that are now lacking in the community. And so we are helping to bring a voice to develop this site with the community's interests in mind.
Right. And I think, as Ed said, that I think will stay with me for a little while, is that it's important to talk about these issues and talk about this community that I think has gotten ignored, and partially because of its, you know, geography, it's fairly isolated, partially because of the demographics of its community, the income levels, for a variety of reasons, it's been kind of forgotten. And I think it's really powerful and really important that that you, the CARP resources, that, you know, people are starting to talk about it and start to make some progress on getting them some better, some healthier. So, Cassandra, as always, thank you so very much for spending some time with us here at the Heritage Radio Network. We look forward to checking in with you over the next couple months and kind of continuing to see where this goes. So thank you so much. This is Leah Eden again on the Heritage Radio Network. As always, you know where to find us. Come give us a listen. Check us out on our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitchers, a variety of places, but make sure you keep coming back.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.